In April of 2023, I made my first video criticizing an archaeologist for getting facts wrong when they were debunking Graham Hancock. I sent a link of the video to the man, and he found it worth acknowledging. As a matter of fact, he found me worth talking to. I'll let him explain.
When I started this series, I was greatly looking forward to hearing the viewpoints of those who agreed with Graham Hancock, because I didn't really care as much about Graham Hancock as I did about the theories that he was putting forward. But most of his supporters who ended up watching my video just ended up seeing it as a personal attack, with only one real notable exception. I had a man reach out to me on Instagram named Dan, who uses the username Dedunking, excellent username, by the way, to tell me that he had made a response video about me. And I watched it, and it was great. He's as snide and snarky as I am, but looks like what I'd look like if I could actually grow a full beard and didn't know what an electric razor was. And I talked with him for a while on Instagram, and he was really nice. It was very refreshing to be able to talk to someone who I disagree with, but are still able to actually have a discussion.
A year and a half later, a different archaeologist is getting facts wrong for debunking Graham Hancock. I criticize him, and he reacts in a little bit of a different manner.
Okay. Let's take a look at this guy, Dan. He goes by the name Dedunking Past here on YouTube. His shtick is that he debunks the debunkers. And since I was the debunker of his personal hero, Graham Hancock, he has decided since that Rogan episode that I am open game for nonstop harassment.
So how did we get here? Am I just some white knight for Graham Hancock? Did I go from caring about truth and science to just wanting to grift in order to get a couple extra clicks? Or maybe there's a reason that I treat Flint Dibble and Milo Rossi considerably differently when I talk about them. And short answer is, of course there's a reason, but I'm going to do a little bit more than that. I'm going to explain to you why, show you why, and then I'm going to explain to you at the end how this whole debacle has messed with my head and changed the way I do think about things. It certainly hasn't made me, like, consider Graham Hancock's position more valid or anything like that. But it certainly has changed the way I think about a few things, not just archaeology. So strap yourselves in, because we've got us another one of them response videos. Hi, my name's Dan, and welcome to Dedunking. Now, if you aren't aware, Flint Dibble and Graham Hancock were on a debate on the Joe Rogan Experience, in which Flint said a number of things that were less than accurate. And I caught this because of the way Flint reacted when Graham said, "Hey, man, why do you always say these slanderous things about me?" And Flint's like, "No, I don't. Yes, I do." And I recognized that. I knew for a fact that Flint knew he was lying. And that got me to look through the video a little closer. I noticed more lies, more tells for lying. I looked into those and discovered numerous times that the science was being misrepresented. It wasn't very complicated. It wasn't very hard to unearth the stuff if you knew what you're looking for. So I made videos calling him, you know, trying to give him the benefit of the doubt sometimes, because that's how I always roll. And then there were times that I knew for a fact he's lying, and I wasn't going to be nice about it then. And then I made the video calling out five lies all at once. That was finally just like, "Here, dude, boom, you're lying." Now, he really didn't like that. And then, of course, I was accused of no longer make the same kind of content, like I said a minute ago. But that's not the case at all. I do give my opponent the benefit of the doubt, but ask freaking Potholer54, a.k.a. Peter Hadfield, the geologist, how I treat scientists once I'm 100% certain they're lying. Hell, I'll let Dan from 2023, from June of 2023, well over a year ago, I'll let me from then explain it to you. And Potholer is absolutely right here. You shouldn't use fabrications, misrepresentations, or omissions to support your position when you're having a debate. It's intellectually bankrupt. So, when I was talking to him, you can imagine my shock when he kept shifting the goalposts and absolutely not admitting that he had done something wrong, completely misrepresenting Hancock in words in the comments section, but he would blow up these comments that were so big that it was quite obvious that he's hiding from addressing the actual point by gish galloping into all these other directions. Normally, I like to make these videos in a set kind of manner where I give my opponent the benefit of the doubt. But after this, I see that it's very important that I make this clear and concise. So here is the top 8 ways that Potholer has misrepresented, fabricated, or omitted things in his response to Graham Hancock's episode 1 of Ancient Apocalypse.
Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. Tell me lies.
Now, this isn't a new thing. I did it to Potholer54 for a very good reason, because He was lying to the public. And now, anybody lying to the public is frustrating, but a scientist doing it is... That's fundamentally just like, it's treacherous to humanity on a fundamental level, okay? I don't even know how else to put it. It's just treacherous. So when I see a scientist knowingly lie, yeah, I'm not going to be very polite about it, and I haven't been very polite about it. And now there are times that it's possible that the scientist is just being really, 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 really ignorant. Like when Flint completely misrepresents Graham Hancock's lost technology thing. I mean, look at this crap.
Look, when you say stuff like this...
What all of this suggests to me is that the world was mapped and explored by a global seafaring culture with a level of technology that was at least equivalent to ours at the end of the 18th century during the Ice Age.
To most people, this quote, a level of technology that was at least equivalent to ours at the end of the 18th century, means more than just making maps. If you're just talking about maps, why even bring up the term technology or levels of technology?
So either Flint doesn't really know Graham's basic position, or he's completely dishonest. Because as anybody who's read Graham's books knows, that longitude requires two working timepieces to get. So it's not just like, I don't know what Flint might be thinking, like better parchment or better ink pen. Maybe he thinks Graham says they had better ink pens so they can make better maps. But Graham is saying they had to have some sort of working timepiece. I'll read from page 25 of my 1995 Fingerprints of the Gods to further explain. Once again, we seem to be looking at the fingerprints of a vanished civilization, one capable of drawing accurate maps of widely separated parts of the Earth. What kind of technology and what kind of science and culture would have been required to do a job like that? Isn't it a little strange that the only parts of Fingerprints of the God that Flint seems to actually know are the parts that he uses as weapons against Graham? He doesn't know the parts that flesh out Graham's hypothesis, for example. It's almost like he didn't read the thing himself. Instead, he just wants to be like, no, Graham, you believe that a lost civilization with ancient high material technology, everybody thinks that way, Graham, so that's what it is. And then he has a windmill to tilt at. He's got his little straw man to continue to attack. And, you know, that to most people, that would be, like, grossly unfair. But to Flint, it's fine, because as far as he's concerned, he's just dealing with flat earthers, man.
And this goes back to a debate I have with a different YouTuber back a long time ago, Dan Richards. He was complaining that that archaeologists treat people who believe in this lost civilization from the Ice Age as if they're flat earthers. And to be honest, the evidence for this kind of lost civilization is equivalent to believing in a flat earth. It really is. Anyone who is familiar with all the evidence we have from the end of the Ice Age, not a single person, not a single scholar thinks that there's any credence to that. Not a single one. Name me one archaeologist whose focus is the late Pleistocene who even thinks that that's a plausible idea. Not one.
Now, not only is it so dismissive as to be like a joke, it's like, every time Flint's like, hey, buddy, let's go have a beer to Graham, it's like, hey, buddy, let's go have a beer while I wipe the drool off your chin and change your nappy, you little dork, because he thinks that Graham is dumb as a box of rocks, and he's saying so right here. He's saying so right here. So that makes that part really funny. But what's even funnier is, like, the fundamental bad logic here. He's saying you can prove for a fact that Atlantis didn't exist. Because you can show, millions of people have seen the round face of the Earth. We can prove for a fact that the Earth is round. How do you prove for a fact that the Atlantis didn't exist, Flint? You can't, okay? You can't. You can say we have no evidence for it. You can say there's nothing we can find that makes me think that there is an Atlantis that exists. You can say all that kind of stuff all you want until you're blue in the face, and maintain intellectual integrity if you truly believe every statement that you're making. But the minute that you make that statement that there, Atlantis and the flat earth are the same, you are fundamentally just way out there. There's a thought experiment called Russell's Teapot. The idea is if somebody believes that a teapot is orbiting Jupiter, it's an extremely unlikely scenario. It's also an extremely unfalsifiable scenario. That is the difference between Atlantis existing and the earth being flat. If you want to be extremely skeptical, you can say that Atlantis is like Russell's teapot, that it probably didn't exist, but we can't prove that it didn't. But that is as far as you can go and remain intellectually honest unless you are so fundamentally flawed in your thinking that you probably shouldn't even be pushing a mop for a living. So I want to show you why I call him dishonest instead of just saying he makes a mistake here and there. And I've done this sort of thing before, but I've always been all scientific and heavy-handed about it and like, this is the data. And that, I've seen that's pointless because what he does is he gaslights his audience into thinking that it doesn't really matter what somebody else says if they don't have credentials. Then he ignores the data that I bring up, makes fun of me, and then says, no, I didn't lie. And then he calls it a game. So what I'm going to do here is ignore the data, basically, at this point. I'm going to show you a liar. I'm just going to show you something that if you've ever watched the cops bust somebody who's like, you ever seen a kid with their hand in a cookie jar get caught and they're like, I'm just going to show you a liar, okay? So we'll start with the way that he rewrites history when he's talking about the whole feralization thing.
Here. What was it? I refer to feralization of plants, and I say one thing, and then the next sentence later I say, actually, Joe and Graham, I don't know about this. I'm not even sure if the research has been done. I don't know how long it takes for feralization to happen. And to only respond to the part before I say I don't know, as if I didn't say that. Cut that out of context. You know, it's just kind of like,
I now have all these people that think I lie.
You're making
this,
a job for yourself.
This is what it is. They're like, Flint Dibble is a liar. He went in there and presented XYZ, and it's just, they pull out the most random thing. It's like, what was it? At one point, Joe Rogan asked me a random question about, because I was talking about the domestication of crops and how we can clearly date that, you know, organic evidence. We can radiocarbon date it. It's directly datable. And so, you know, we can see when crops are domesticated. There's no ice age civilization that's growing crops, right? And so he says, well, what about feralization? And so I'm like, yeah, that, you know, that would probably take as long as domestication does, a few thousand years. And he keeps pressing me. And I say, but look, I don't know. I really do not know. I've not studied this. I don't even know if people have studied how long it takes for feralization to happen in an archaeological framework.
That's when something is domesticated and becomes feral.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, yeah. And this one guy on YouTube who's a Graham Hancock fan, he takes out the first half of that, where I say it probably takes a few thousand years, and then he says I lie. And it's like, dude, the very next sentence I say I don't know. And I say, actually, I've not researched this. I'm clearly not friggin' lying.
He claims he retracted his statement, basically, right? Well, I don't know, Joe. I misspoke. I'm sorry about all that. Maybe not thousands of years. I'll have to look and see. That's how he makes it sound, right? And he said this to a couple of different people, at least. But let's see what really happened in the debate.
But is it possible that this cycle of domesticating wheat and beans and all these different things has taken place many, many times? And that if you left them alone, they would go back to the wild form where if there was a disaster and people stopped growing them in this particular region, how long would it take for them to revert back to their original
thousands
state?
Of years again.
Thousands of
yeah,
years
yeah,
again.
Thousands of years.
How many thousands of years do you think?
Well, I don't know because I'd have to look that up because I know that we've observed this kind of stuff, feral. Domesticates going feral, but I don't have that off.
And you said how many years from the original till the whole crop?
Something like 3,000 years. Dorian Fuller's actually published a lot on estimating the time ranges of this.
So if you had agriculture in 12,800 years ago, around the time of the Younger Dryas impact theory, and then people are resorted to hunter-gatherers again, and it takes a long time before they start using agriculture again.
But that's not what he's claiming. He's claiming that.
Yeah, I know, but I'm asking: is it possible that those plants would revert, and then the process would happen again once people started growing them intentionally?
That's tough to tell because what we see is it's exactly at that time, at least in Southwest Asia, where this domestication starts.
Right, we haven't seen the reverse happen.
No.
But is it possible?
Well, I mean, it would have to have happened a lot earlier.
But if people weren't cultivating it anymore, wouldn't the natural selection revert back to the original
state? I agree with that. It would revert back.
But it would take a long time.
It would take a long time. And so I want to get into how the next trait size takes thousands of years after that.
Flint's just over here rewriting history. You know, in reality, he never retracts the thousands of years, but he sure acts like he retracted the thousands of years, right? Now imagine if Joe would have asked him, hey, Flint, what's pi? And Flint would have been like, I know that one, Joe. It's 3.14. And then Joe would have been like, but Flint, what is it to the 10th decimal place? And Flint's like, ooh, I need to go do some research. I'll get back to you on that one. Would that remove the 3.14 from the discussion, or would that still be the generic, general answer that would be hanging until there was more data brought to bear, which never was? So the answer that Flint gave was thousands of years, and he never retracted that. He never rolled it back. He left it hanging. And he told his audience that I lied and deliberately edited him out of context in order to show this, in order to call it a lie. And it's very clear that that's not the case. It's very clear right here in the clip. You can see that that's not what happened. So, again, we've got a case where Flint's over here telling fibs, all right? And in this case, he's telling them about me in order to protect himself. And, whatever. If he's going to lie about me in order to protect himself, then we'll just do what we're doing now, won't we? And, I didn't catch that kid in the cookie jar lie that he did there. And that's, make no mistake, that's basically what it was, right? It wasn't like he had thought that lie through. Rogan is like, hey, man, I see you're making a case for these plant domestication. I see a potential hole in that case. And he pokes at it. And Flint is like, ping, block that thing. And then he thinks about it for a second. He's like, well, maybe that's not perfect when Joe presses him. But he still doesn't take his hands away from the hole in the armor that he saw. He makes sure that thousands of years stays there, okay? And that's a big deal. But I didn't notice this until the guy, like, this. I went back through it. Because the first time that I saw it, it was the racism thing that really clued me into it. Now, pay close attention to this. Now, hell, I'll make it a little easier for you.
Archaeologist Flint Dibble says Hancock's claims reinforce white supremacist ideas, stripping indigenous people of their rich heritage, and instead giving credit to aliens or white people. Actually, I've never...
Did you really say that?
No, I said that this idea of Atlantis, the way it goes back 200 years, it has been used for those reasons.
So are you saying your quote is incorrect?
I think that it's editing me out of context, Graham. I've never called you a white supremacist or a racist.
No, hang on, that's because... You're very, if I may say so, very slippery in the way that you deal with, because you know perfectly well that saying that my work encourages white supremacism is and encourages racism is going to end up with me being tarred as a racist. And you know very well that tarring somebody as a racist in this day, look, the results there, down there. Make no mistake, Hancock is a white supremacist like Trump.
Look TV at this, out there,
it's racist fiction pretending
These
to be
These are
science.
Not my words.
But
look,
no, you I'm
cite,
talking about your influence
you cite
on media
19th
and culture.
Century sources, you cite 16th century sources, yeah. And I label those as racist. And I see it as a problem to readapt those kind of sources without critiquing them, because this idea of a white Atlantis is what existed in the 19th century.
I have Ignatius no such idea.
But you might not, but you're citing those sources uncritically.
Why should I not cite
and
them?
And I never make that the foreground of anything that I write. I put that in there as a paragraph, and I say he should not be citing these kind of sources without critiquing them, because they do the harm. There's a lot of harm in the history.
Can you be specific about that? Like, what are these sources that you're citing about Atlantis, and why do you think that they reinforce white supremacy?
Yeah, sure. So the reason is because for a long time, Atlantis was used as a colonial justification by the Crown of Spain for claiming land in the New World. And so what this idea of Atlantis from the 16th in build up into the 19th century with the book on Atlantis by Ignatius Donnelly, it described this as this kind of global superpower that was, European and that was responsible for these monuments in indigenous areas. It stripped credit away from local cultures of their heritage.
Right, but he's not doing that.
I never said he did. But, I said that he's citing these sources.
But this is something that is a very nuanced subject. Mm-hmm. And when you say that it reinforces white supremacy.
Again, I said the sources do.
Right, but go back to the quote, Jamie.
But
go
back to the tweet.
But listen, this quote here reinforce white supremacist ideas, stripping indigenous people of the rich heritage, and instead giving credit to aliens or white people. None of those things are true.
I know Graham doesn't even talk about aliens.
Right, but
and so
did
that's
you
why
say
I'm
that?
I said that not in specific relation to Hancock's claims, but in specific relation to this narrative of Atlantis that has gone back hundreds of years.
Right, but that...
Here's the Guardian. So they're misquoting you, are they? As Dibble states, such claims reinforce white supremacist ideas. They strip indigenous people of their rich heritage and instead give credit to aliens or white people. Why didn't you get the Guardian to put that right?
Well, I don't.
Did you actually say that, though?
I did not say that Graham reinforces white supremacist ideas. As I've said,
so this quote is not real.
They strip the stories of Atlantis. Yes, and I think that that's an issue. So Graham, you go around the world to megalithic sites, right?
So the quote reinforce white supremacist ideas. That's not yours.
No, that's not a quote. It's not in quotation.
Right. It was in the other article. That's what I'm getting
and
to.
And again, they strip indigenous people of their rich heritage and give credit to aliens or white people. Well, in short, the series promotes ideas of race science that are outdated and long debunked. And this is your own.
Right, but that's not his quote.
This is your own article, Flint. Here you are.
Now, as you can see here, Flint just changes his position to wherever he thinks it's the best. It's waffle, 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 change, change, change. So, yeah, fine, Flint. Just claim that I know nothing about archaeology. I'll leave the data alone in this video, buddy. We'll just show you to being a liar in a manner that even a 5-year-old kid could see through. And this is not the only time that he lies in order to save face. For example, when it comes to my video about him working at Dartmouth University, listen to what he has to say about this.
I do not know why Dartmouth College still has a profile for me. They have profiles for plenty of people who are no longer employed by them. That is not me. That is just, they keep that up there. And just like universities keep email addresses and stuff like that. And so, you know, it's just like, I don't know what else to say. You look, I have my own information about who I am out there online. That's the top result on Google, Bing, or whatever search. And he chose to do that. And he knew that was false. And yet he, and so.
But when I looked up where he worked, Dartmouth was the top hit on Google. Still is at the time of me recording this. So, you know, he... What he's saying there is false. Now, I don't think that he conjured up that as a known lie. I think that he just said what he thought would make his case best without regards for the facts or the truth. Something that become quite a theme when I talk about this guy. And this is not the only time that you're going to find him doing this sort of thing. Anytime he gets really emotional about it, he is apt to do that, even if he's writing a script. For example, the video he recently did about me, well, you watch that thing, he's reading a script a good chunk of the time, and look what he still manages to say about me.
Now, let's be clear. This is kind of all that Dan does these days. He calls scholars, archaeologists, students, and really anyone who disagrees with him a liar, or a worm, or twisty, or some other similar slander.
It becomes very obvious that there's some archaeologists out there that are just completely untrustworthy.
And he really hates archaeologists as a group of people.
Most alternate historians have some sort of an issue with archaeologists. Now, I don't mean archaeology as a science, not the field itself. I mean the scientists, archaeologists.
Well, this is false in at least a couple of ways. Number one, a huge chunk of the videos that I make are about modern archaeological finds and ancient history stuff, and those are still extremely popular. Now, some of my most popular content, matter of fact. But the other place where this is very dishonest is he knows that I'm not talking about all archaeologists, and he's well aware, even the clips he shows, I'm talking about very specific types of archaeologists. And here's the thing, the ones that I'm talking about are the debunkers that have no problem stepping out of their wheelhouse in order to do some debunkings while they tell other people they have no credentials there. For example, Flint is a food guy. He deals with animal bones and seeds and shit, right? But he's going to weigh in on architecture like he's some expert.
He literally knows nothing about archaeology. Zero. And that's obvious to anyone with archaeology knowledge who listens to what he has to say. Like here, he is answering a question in a live stream about whether the Phoenicians might have built the trilithon for the Roman temples at Baalbek.
So what are your thoughts on the Phoenicians? Like, who were they?
I don't think the Phoenicians are a good candidate for that, mostly because the Phoenicians built with stone and wood. And that doesn't look like anything that we know of theirs. And we don't really have a lot of their stuff that's... that looks neat. Most of the stuff that we have of the Phoenicians is looks pretty bad.
Yes, Dan, the Phoenicians did use stone and wood in their architecture. You're right. So did the Greeks and the Egyptians and the Romans and the Hittites and Neolithic people, Bronze Age people, Iron Age people, and cultures all over the world. You didn't say anything meaningful in that word salad. You simply have no knowledge at all of archaeology.
This is laughable for multiple reasons. Number one, Flint knows that I am an interested amateur that knows a lot more about archaeology than most people that aren't archaeologists. If you go talk to your average Joe at the bank or your average Joe at the bar, whether he's wearing his construction clothes or he's wearing a suit and tie, odds are he probably knows less about archaeology than your buddy Dan does. And that's not because I'm some great font of wisdom. It's just something I've been interested in for a long time. And I do concern myself with a lot of the scientific sides of it, where a lot of the people that are alternate historians like myself tend to stick to the narrative side of things. I do know about stratigraphy. I do know about context dating. I do know about multiple lines of evidence. I understand what LIDAR is used for outside of just finding ancient ruins. I understand what cultural resource management is. As a matter of fact, Jimmy Corsetti's audience now knows what cultural resource management is. Thanks to me, you're welcome, archaeologists. So to say that I know nothing about archaeology, that's just Flint talking hyperbole or making overreaching claims, something that I accused him of numerous times in my Five Fibs video, which the link is somewhere down there. But there's more to this story than meets the freaking eye. The second part of this that is just insane is him accusing me of just word salad when I say the things about the Phoenicians and using wood and that making it harder, blah, blah, blah. There's a guy named Mark Cartwright. He's a historian. I'll let him say what he has to say about the Phoenicians. The study of Phoenician architecture is beset by two problems from the outset. Firstly, having access to abundant cedar forests, it is likely the Phoenicians employed wood for most of their buildings, an unfortunate choice for posterity as wood is not, of course, as great a survivor as stonework. The second problem for historians is that Phoenician cities have been in constant occupation throughout their history. Now, not to toot my own horn here too much, but I did answer that question in a live stream the same way a historian probably would have, the same way that Mark Cartwright would have, so I think that's kind of a funny little thing there. I don't have any letters next to my name, but Flint does. But Flint, well, he has no expertise in big rocks in the ground, and working with dick bones and their associated seeds does not make one an architecture expert. Now, I'm not an architecture expert either, but I've been very interested in that aspect of archaeology for a very long time. Like most alternate historians, I am into big rocks, so when a guy who does not know anything about big rocks, like Flint Dibble, points to the letters next to his name that have to do with dick bones and seeds, and says, "You need to listen to me about big rocks," yeah. What he's doing here is exactly the kind of crap that I'm going to rail against. But instead, he's going to say things like,
"He literally knows nothing about archaeology. Zero."
And then he's going to accuse me of harassment, and this is really funny. I could let this frustrate me a lot if I want, but it's the kind of thing I'm just trying to laugh off here, because while he's accusing me of harassment, he says things to Graham like, you know, his followers, he can't control them, man. They kind of do their own thing, man. It's not up to me what they do.
You know perfectly well that saying that my work encourages white supremacism and encourages racism is going to end up with me being tarred as a racist. And you know very well that tarring somebody as a racist in this day. Look, the results there, down there. Make no mistake, Hancock is a white supremacist like Trump.
Look TDL at this,
there. It's racist
this
fiction pretending to
These
be
are
science.
Not my words. But look, no, you
I'm
cite-
talking about your...
But what's not so funny here is the way that Flint's words hit the rest of the world. Okay? Here's an astrophysicist, and she's going to tell you that she got her information about Graham Hancock from Flint Dibble, including the whole racism package, and then you're going to see her telling another astrophysicist that all this stuff is racist. Flint created this situation where we have two people that are not archaeologists. These people are academics that either teach or do research at high-level universities. And both of them are presumably telling people this whenever it comes up. And this came from Flint. Pay attention.
Archaeologist Flint Dibble points out how Graham is doing nothing new when it comes to disrupting the paradigm or whatever. He's just repackaging the work of Ignatius Donnelly, who also believed in Atlantis and white supremacy. Donnelly also promoted the theory of Atlanteans teaching indigenous cultures about architecture and civilizing them before a great flood came to wipe out the Atlanteans, who he also claimed were the origins of the Aryan race. Big yikes to that!
Recently on this channel, we did a deep dive into a new Netflix series called Ancient Apocalypse, which is all about how Atlantis is real because no societies of color could have developed substantial architecture or astronomy. If you look back to the roots of this crazy Atlantis conspiracy theory, you see that it started in white supremacist, specifically Nazi circles, and this presentation on Netflix, which is a very mainstream platform, or the History Channel a decade ago, which was a very mainstream platform, is spreading these white supremacist ideas in, like, to the general public and watering them down. But there is still that undercurrent of, well, there's no way that a non-white society could have done all of this.
Now, that's real damage that's done there, more than I could ever do. I mean, ask Flint. I'm just insignificant.
Dan's YouTube channel was small and largely insignificant. He was a minor nobody just like me until Graham started boosting him. It's really Graham that is creating this hate cult as much as Dan.
But I've talked to Flint about those scientists being misled, and he doesn't care. He knows that his words mislead other scientists, and he doesn't matter. Now, those are people that presumably matter. They got letters next to their name. They're not nobodies like me. But when those real people call Graham Hancock a racist, and people like myself by extension that are alternate historians, that's no big deal, because those are real people. Those are academics. But Flint, I get people that are nobodies. My audience is a bunch of nobodies. But when they say things to you that call you a liar, you get all butthurt about it.
His fans have responded by calling my employer to get me fired. While he tells them not to, they still do.
So some angry internet people called your employer, and now you're having some sleepless nights and a little frustration and a little angst and stuff, huh? Yeah, imagine how it feels to have a bunch of academics calling you a racist, okay? As I've said to you before, Flint, this stuff sucks, and you are part of the problem. You knowingly continue to get people to call me, Graham Hancock, and every other alternate historian gets called a racist because of your words. Yes, my followers will not stop contacting your employer, the same as your followers won't stop calling us racists. Now, your employer is a somebody, employing a somebody at a university of somebodies. My followers are nobodies, Flint. They're insignificant. They're nothing burgers. So think about that for a minute. You've got all your academics punching down at us, calling us racists, and then getting mad when we dare punch back. The double standards, the ivory tower, the self-centered main character syndrome shit is palpable, Flint. And then you actually think that the backlash against you is just some nebulous thing. It's just like, you know, guys don't like me because I told the truth about Atlantis.
Ugh, this is just petty abuse, man. Nasty hatred towards people whose sole crime is to have an underpaid job that researches the material remains from human history and prehistory. Why? Because we tell the truth about Atlantis, that it never existed, and that believing in it is like believing in flat Earth.
But archaeologists in general telling the truth about Atlantis, that's not the problem, Flint. The problem is you lying about it, the origins of it specifically, that it came from white supremacy. And, well, you kind of word it where other academics sure have no problem making that interpretation, and then you can walk around, I never called Grandma racist, but academics, real people, not insignificant nobodies, are out calling Graham and myself a racist using your words. So, when you complain about me saying you are a liar for lying about things, mind you, sir, and then you cry because people say you're a liar, and you're labeling people racist that aren't. Well, I never called them racist. Whatever, we're all getting called racist thanks to the way that you, as Graham put it, cleverly word it. Dude, shut up. I'm sorry, shut up. Take your fucking lumps. Deal with it. Or, crazy idea, quit lying about the origins of Atlantis. Maybe just quit talking about all the racism stuff and stick to the evidence. Where your credentials are. Dick bones and seeds, man. Dick bones and seeds. That's all I want to hear from you in the future, Flint. Dick bone, seed.
I've received hundreds of public and private messages filled with outright abuse, insults, hatred, directed about everything about me, directly due to Graham's promotion of Dan's videos. And frankly, I'm tired of it. This is just petty harassment. I am an underpaid scholar and teacher, not some big shot celebrity.
How many emails do you think that Graham gets a week calling him a white supremacist and stuff like that? When he goes to film, sometimes he's blocked. When people are said, hey, man, why don't you go look up Graham Hancock online? Sometimes people are like, yeah, it said white supremacy. I didn't want to click on that. But Flint, nobody's doing that to Flint. They call his university, but again, there's nobody's. Nobody listens to that. So Flint has to deal with some people sending him nasty emails, but he still gets to go teach. Nobody's stopping him. There's nobody going to stop him from filming his next YouTube video or anything like that. But Graham has to worry about these things. There's nobody going to email Flint and call him a racist for something that somebody else said about him. Now, they'll call him a liar for the lies that he told. And now Flint's going to try to put that back on me, but I am sorry, sir. All I did was hold open the bag. You're the one that put everything inside of it. You know, I also get treated like this. Flint's underpaid, I'm underpaid, but and I also get treated like shit. I got called a racist and all kinds of stuff. But you know what? Doesn't really matter to him because I'm just a stupid YouTuber.
So I guess good luck with being a YouTube authority on a topic that you have zero experience and knowledge in. But in the future, stop this targeted harassment and leave me out of it.
Cool. Well, I guess I'll do that, Flint, but here's the deal. If you want me to quit saying your name, you need to retract your racism crap, and you need to start focusing at guys like Robert Saphir, who actually deserve the kind of statements that you make about Aryan First ideologies and stuff. But you're not going to do that, because here's the thing, man. Ultimately, this is all about, like, your guys' little clique and your little power. And Robert Saphir is marginalized even in the Atlantis World community. We don't like racists either. But you guys aren't going after him because he's a tiny little target compared to Hancock, which sucks. But that's not even the only thing that's going on here. It's like you accuse all of us with these broad brushes, but if I say anything about archaeologists, you're like, oh, you're broad brushing us, but you're calling us racists, man. It's this ivory tower, main character, self-centered bullshit. You're allowed to call my interpretation of the Phoenician stuff word salad, even though you have no credentials in that area, and were wrong. Wrong as fucking sin. But there will be a cold day in hell, guys. Mark my words, Flint will not address that. Even if he watches this video, which he almost certainly will, he will not address that. He will never admit that that was wrong, because that, you can't admit one of us was wrong when you're an ivory tower asshole, and these are all worms. These are all nobodies. Hey, just go do your stupid YouTube crap, and I'll go do the real archaeology while I talk about something I don't know about, and then you can prove me wrong in 15 seconds on Google because you actually did know what you were talking about. All right. I've rambled about this side of it enough. I'm a little bit frustrated, in case you can't tell, but I'm not too mad. It's actually pretty funny. It's just kind of sad that so many people are actually listening to this stupidity on his part. But from here, I want to segue into something that's kind of a little bit more personal. Okay, the first way that this really fundamentally kicked me in the teeth was Dr. Ice Core, as I'll call him, the way he just completely waffled on everything. I'd spent an hour talking to the man after my first metallurgy video addressing Flint's bullshit on the metallurgy issue was already up, and Dr. Ice Core had seen it. I made certain of that. So Dr. Ice Core watches my video. He knows what I'm about, and like a month later, me and him have a chat, and it's an hour long. And in that chat, I ask some very specific, very important questions because for some crazy reason, I didn't want him to turn around 2 days later and say, hey, that Dan guy lied about what you said. So I was very, very, very painstakingly detailed in the questions that I asked him. And I made sure that he saw my video that was about metallurgy before, and that he knew that this video was going to be used to criticize another scientist. This was important to me to make sure out the gate that he knew these things. Now, he was also very clear to me about how anthropogenic lead and natural lead are differentiated from each other in the ice cores, and I portrayed this information in my video, so I'm not going to get into it here. The link's in the description. But the other things that he mentioned to me that I didn't bother putting in the video that I'll mention now, he talked about colleagues. One person in particular he didn't name, but after doing a little research, I'm pretty sure I know who he's talking about. And he said the dude was like an asshole when it comes to debunking people that are pseudoscientists in their community. And of course, in the, you know, if you're a Dr. Ice Core, your community, the pseudo scientists you're going to bump into are going to be, generally speaking, climate change deniers, right? So, like, those are the ones that he deals with. And he even said that he doesn't like climate change deniers, but he thinks that some people in the community, one guy in particular, one other science Ice Core scientist, is very bad at debunking them, at talking to them, and he makes things worse. So he understood why I had a fundamental thing that I wanted to discuss here, where I said, you know, even if Flint is right about everything, he's just done this so wrong. And our discussion was very detailed, and I walked out of there confident that I could put his name on my video and not have happened what happened. But after a bunch of archaeologists crawled up his ass, boy, oh boy, did his shit change. Flint's, oh, that's pathetic. No, you know what is pathetic? What's pathetic is how much I fucking love science and what that did to it. I have made a big point in numerous times, in my comments especially, I've told so many people, I don't do climate, because I get so many people, they're like, oh man, you're good at fucking kicking scientists in the teeth and catching them in bullshit data. We want you in the climate change debate. I don't want to play in that sandbox. Here's the thing, man. I don't disagree with scientists on hard data, generally speaking, do I? You don't see me arguing with the freaking archaeologists about the dating of the pyramid because I say the carbon dating's wrong. They're the ones that say the carbon dating's wrong. I'm the one sticking with the hard data, and that's generally speaking how it is. I argue with them on their interpretations. I argue with them where logic and where, like, not thinking things through, lack of life experience might weigh in the most, because that's where I feel I have really the best possibility of being able to weigh in, right? I mean, I'm not an archaeologist. I haven't tested all of these different things and all that crap, right? I get this. But climate science isn't something entirely different. I have never wanted to mess with that, because if I go attacking archaeologists, for example, and I'm like, I get every freaking person on the entire planet believes in Atlantis, that is going to do fuck all to the world. But if I were on the flip side to get every person on the planet to believe that global warming's fake, well, assuming that all those climate scientists are telling us the truth, that'd be a pretty fucking bad thing then, wouldn't it? So I don't go down that road. I have consistently not, out of a sense of responsibility, man. But this proved to me, on a personal level, I have experienced it. There's only a few of these climate scientists on the planet that are qualified to do what Dr. Ice Core is qualified to do. Okay? Only a handful of these guys. And the one of them that I've dealt with flipped on a fucking dime as soon as he was pressed. So I have no question in my mind that he would not bring up data that was going to overturn any sort of major paradigm and get... So, in other words, you have made me a little bit more skeptical of the whole climate change thing. Flint Dibble and crew and Dr. Ice Core. That's the first thing. And that really fucking pisses... Honestly, it pisses me off, because I love science and I hate even hearing myself say those words. I'm a little more skeptical about anthropogenic climate change than I was yesterday. And that's a fucked place for me to be honest with you. I shouldn't be there. That's on y'all. But there's a few other places where this really kicked me in the teeth, too. And that brings me back to Flint's claims about me hating all archaeologists and all that. I just don't like the debunkers that are vitriolic or that are mean, that accuse me of being a racist or say things to other people that get me called a racist. Any of that stuff, I tend to have a little bit of a problem with for some crazy reason. And the guys that, you know, try to debunk things that are unfalsifiable and just end up, like, making shit up and... You're telling me that I can't weigh in on Phoenician architecture because I don't have letters next to my name, and then they shit the bed when they try to talk about it. Guys like that I tend to have a problem with. You know, the people that, when they look at this great big world that we have, and they are like, what do I want to, like, dedicate all of my life to fighting against? They choose people that have the wrong beliefs in big rocks. Maybe I'm not much better, but I chose at first refereeing this mess, but it's starting to become keeping scientists honest. It's starting to become kind of a full-time job keeping you guys honest. It's kind of difficult to keep you guys honest, it seems. Almost like the ones of you guys that get out there and do the actual debunking are perfectly willing to bend the truth to get where you want to go. But that makes sense. You're lying to nobodies, right? And to end this, I have to ask, you know, honestly, what do you think it does to my faith in the archaeological community when most archaeologists that did talk to me won't now, and the handful that still will are scared to death that I'm going to expose them for it on Twitter or something, but that's not going to happen. But they're like scared of that. They tell me all the time, please don't tell anybody, please don't tell anybody. Some of them even blocked me on Twitter and then emailed me on Gmail now because they're afraid to be exposed. It's a fucking hot mess you guys have in your community where people feel so afraid to speak out, so afraid to say anything. And I'll give you a little tidbit, a little bit of proof that I do have inside ears into that whole mess. You know the Society for American Archaeologists letter? Yeah, Flint Dibble, he actually fought against John Hoops when it came to the racism part. He told Hoops that they shouldn't put it like that, they should tone that way down. Hoops kept it the way it was. He pushed for it to be the way it was. And now Flint is playing a good little lapdog and he's towing that line, but he didn't want that to be there. And I know that for a fact. I know a lot of stupid stuff like that. I have people telling me things they want me to use that I wouldn't use unless shit got really ugly. This whole thing, the people that talk to me outside of the public sphere now about the science and stuff is... it's hard to even explain how much that has damaged my faith in the scientific process and the scientific community. The last year and a half has been, I've had a lot of fun with this YouTube thing and I'm not quitting, don't get me wrong. But goddamn, has it really damaged my faith in science, my faith in the scientific process. And it really kind of hurt my head in a few ways because of it. It's like there's a little soul seeking to do. And Mr. Dibble, that's on you and your boy Hoops and a couple of other jackasses. So thanks a lot.